Today I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Good morning. Great to see everybody today to have a time to worship the Lord together. A special welcome to those who are guests with us today who may be here with friends or family. We're glad that you've come our way. And I really just want to welcome Randy. It's so good to see Randy. I know he's getting upset with me maybe for welcoming back, but we just miss Randy when he's not around. He's just always here, and he's been out of town working, and it's just great to see a brother. And then it's off to Anchorage. I hear the nice thing about there is it's the days are so long up there, right, this time of year. So that'll be a change from Seattle. But and you know, it's November 11th. I wish November 11th received a little bit more attention in our country, like it did when I was a kid growing up. November 11th, Veterans Day. We, as Americans, it's a day to truly remember and to honor those. And there are so many in our congregation who've served in the armed forces, many in our families and that in this congregation who are serving now. And as Americans, we appreciate that. We appreciate the folks who are oriented towards service to the country. And we and all of you who are here today who are veterans, we certainly appreciate your service to the nation. Wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. Enough said? That's it, isn't it? That's the message. The end of the Sermon on the Mount. Our children know it. Our children sing it. And they would tell us the way the song ends is, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the third verse that we sing. It's a wonderful song. A lot of us have known it all of our lives, or just about. There's a part of the song the kids don't understand. Well, at least one. The rains come down and the floods come up. The rains come down and the floods come up. And unfortunately, sometimes even our children know that, don't they? Because that's the nature of life. The rains come down, the floods come up. Jesus is talking here about a couple of things, I believe. One are just the testings that come to us by virtue of living on this planet, and especially the testings of discipleship. He also, I think, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, has the possibility of judgment in view as well. I don't particularly like the events in my life that test me. I think that's probably true of all of us. We don't like events that test us, that try us, that push us, that these are not enjoyable experiences. The rain's coming down, the flood's coming up. These are not events in our life we look forward to or that we accept with a great deal of joy at times, although we're told to. They are unpleasant, and yet we know them. On some level, we know them every day, but in some aspects of our lives, the storm can really rage at times of testing. Just the daily temptations that you and I face. The evil one is not done with us, and he attacks us, and he's merciless, and he never gives up, and he knows our weaknesses, and he will undermine us, and he will look for that spot where he can make his attack and get his hooks into us. And it's testing, that testing. Will we conform to this world, or will we be transformed by the renewing of our minds? Will we cave in? Will we go along with the crowd, or will we stand our ground? Will we be men and women of God who stand for for what's true and righteous in our life? Will we pay the price? The rains come down and the floods come up. And it happens through circumstances. Everything from financial difficulties and financial problems and loss of employment and the fact that your investments have lost. Those of you who are in retirement or near, you've seen those values plummet. Illness, disease, death. The rains come down, the floods come up. This last week, a young man in his early 30s by the name of Ryan Woods, who had started a church plant up in the Northwest, wife and two kids, 30, 32, something like that, Ryan died with cancer this last week. The rains came down, the floods came up, his wife, his children, that new faith community that he had helped begin, family problems, family issues, betrayal sometimes within our families, broken covenants, hurting children. The rains come down, the floods come up. We have to deal with it. We have to live in it. To trust when we don't understand. Events in our life, we just can't make any sense of how they're happening this way, why God is doing this way. And it's the rain coming down and the floods that are coming up and the wind is blowing. Will we live out God's promises? Will we accept them? Will we know His peace? Will we wait patiently on the Lord? Will we be still and know that He is God? Because the rains come down and the floods come up. And the house on the rock stands firm. It's also judgment, I think, that Jesus had. Not just the experiences of life. His hearers would have certainly understood judgment in this parable because they would have known the Old Testament very well and the prophets over and over and over again speak of God's judgment coming like a storm. One example, Ezekiel 13 and verse 13. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, in my wrath I will unleash a violent wind, and in my anger hailstones and torrents of rain will fall with destructive fury. I will tear down the wall you have covered with whitewash and will level it to the ground so that its foundation will be laid bare, and when it falls, you will be destroyed in it, and you will know that I am the Lord. The rains come down. The floods come up. God will judge His people. The judgment of God comes to test, to expose, to reveal. Sometimes we see that happening in life. We see that judgment of God unleashed and revealed and people exposed in this life. But ultimately, one day, we all will stand before the judgment seat of God, each and every one of us. And we will give an account to Him for everything that we've done in this life, whether good or ill. Rains and winds and floods. And the question is, will we stand? That's what it all comes down to. Not just in the Sermon on the Mount, but in our life. It just comes down to that. Every moment, every decision, every twist and turn of our lives, it really comes down to this question. Will your life stand the test? Will your life stand the test? Will your life stand up to the judgment of God? And this is not a hypothetical question. This is not just something we throw out to consider. This is something that happens every moment and day of our lives as we are tested, and knowing that one day we will stand before God and He will probe our life and our character and our attitudes and our heart and our obedience. And Jesus says, in that moment, in this life, as the testing goes on, and in that moment when we stand before God, there is a single deciding factor. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. That's what it comes down to. We've all heard the words. We've studied these words now for about the last 4 months or so, the Sermon on the Mount. These people who've been listening to Jesus in the text, they have heard the words of Jesus. We know these words. We believe these words. We praise these words as among the most highest teaching that has ever been heard. There is nothing like the Sermon on the Mount. We applaud it. We praise it. We love it. And none of that's the issue. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, Jesus says. Do these words, have they taken up the core of our hearts? Are we transformed? Do we long to be ruled over by Christ? Do we seek the kingdom of God above everything else? Is this the longing of our heart? Do we put these words into practice? Because we've been reading here, especially at the last part of chapter 7, about doing the words, about putting them into practice. And it's, I think, a good question is, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to put these words into practice, this Sermon on the Mount? How do you put it into practice? And Jesus has made it abundantly clear throughout this sermon that he's not introducing some sort of super new Mosaic law that would cause the Pharisees to shudder in their boots. He's not introducing some new legal code. It's not just jumping through some new set of religious hoops and obeying a few rules. It's something deeper. It's something of the heart. It's something that is transformative. It's something that just completely works you over. It begins with the recognition that Jesus Christ is truly King. Not just King in a book, not just King with the title, King in my heart, King of my life, Master of my attitude, master of my priorities and my longings. And he calls us to this incredible set of countercultural values and characteristics that are so very different from the world, and different then and now from the religious legalism and tradition of that day and this. The words of Christ in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are revolutionary words. There's nothing like this anywhere else. This calls for a complete giving over of our heart and life and mind, everything, to the kingship of Jesus Christ, to live out our lives in the kingdom of heaven with all that that implies. And that's still revolutionary. It's amazing what he calls us to do. We've been amazed as we've studied these words together. You can't be satisfied with some pious facade in your life, Jesus said, but it's a heart that hungers for God, that reflects those countercultural principles of the Beatitudes, that are pure in heart and poor in spirit. Salt in a decaying world, light when we're surrounded by so much moral darkness and spiritual darkness, to be these lights in the world reflecting his light. Righteousness from the inside out. That's what this sermon is all about. To hear these words and to do them is nothing less than a total surrender to Jesus Christ as King that changes my heart, changes my relationship with God and others, and leads me to a completely obedient, submissive life before Christ as my Lord. And Jesus explains what's at stake with a simple parable. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Simple story. Obvious meaning. Two builders, much in common, both building a house, same general location apparently, same subject to the same forces, the same kind of house externally. They appear to be very similar. There's no distinction between the houses. The difference is in the men. One of the men is a foolish man. He builds without foresight. He builds out without any kind of thought about the consequences of the place where he's building or the foundation that he's building his house on. He's building it on the sand, probably one of those dry seasonal riverbeds that exist there in the Middle East. It's an easy place. It's a flat place. We don't know what the man's thinking. The wise man is circumspect. He considers the importance of the foundation And he builds on a suitable one. It may be more difficult, but he builds on a rock. And the wisdom of this man, it's obvious, of course, is the choice of foundation. And the houses appear the same. Both houses required a lot of work. Both houses cost money to build. Both houses involve the investment of time and energy and strength. But a storm's coming. Rain. The streams are going to rise. They're going to overflow. There's going to be flooding. The wind is going to blow. And you're reading this, you're hearing these words of Jesus, and it's like anybody can see what's coming. Any fool, you would think, could see, we might say, but what a fool we have in this short parable of Jesus. And you read this and you think, what's this man thinking? This is the foolishness, the ignorance, the lack of foresight is astounding. Let's try it. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went splat. Splat. Boom. Crash. But it's not a house, is it? It's not a house that we're singing about. It's a life. It's a person. Right now, it's me. It's you. It's our life. And Jesus is saying, your life comes to that. Your eternal soul comes to that. Splat. Crash. All that you are, everything that you've longed for and hoped for, who you truly are, this is the absolute ruin of your life. Both now and throughout eternity. For unbelievers? Well, yes, unbelievers. People who don't come to faith in Christ, we would say, of course. And we've seen many lives go splat, haven't we, in this world? We've seen lives that have really have been so battered by the winds and the storms of life, or maybe by judgment of God against foolish decisions, sinful, rebellious things that people have done. We've seen lives in this world that have just ended before they actually ended because of the judgment of God. We've seen lives that have been ruined, that have been destroyed by these kinds of things. Certainly we have. But Jesus is speaking this parable to people who are sitting at his feet. The disciples, to people who've come out there to hear him, to people who say, this is somebody we need to be listening to. And this sermon has been preached by Jesus through the writing of the Apostle Matthew to all of us. And once more, it seems to me, as we've seen in these closing parables of Matthew chapter 7, the closing of this sermon, that Jesus is warning us against the danger of self-delusion. Even for those who follow, it's not enough to hear the words of Jesus. It's not enough to appreciate the words of Jesus. It's not enough, Jesus would say, that you're emotionally stirred by what I've said, that you think this is some high level of teaching. It's not enough that you see the wisdom of what I've said. And the parable reminds us that the houses could look the same. The houses can represent people whose lives on the surface look kind of the same. I mean, they're both there. They're both there in the assembly. They're both there in the church. They both listen to sermons. They're both reading Christian literature. They both give money. They both do maybe some acts of service. But one may be building their life on the sand, not truly giving Jesus Christ the rule over them, not really submitting their heart and their life and will to Jesus Christ as Lord. And Jesus says only the storm is going to tell the difference. And it will tell the difference. The storm will draw the line, whether it's in this life, a life of testing, or if it's the storm of God's judgment that comes against hypocrisy and religious game playing. The rains come down and the floods come up. And submitting to Jesus Christ as Lord and putting His words into practice and giving your heart over to God and longing to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect and seeking the kingdom of God above everything else. Seeking the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the way of God, the decisions of God, the purposes of God above everything else is the only way to provide a lasting foundation for our lives. Otherwise, they just come crashing down around us. What greater folly? And isn't this really what Jesus is saying? What greater folly could there be than to build your entire life without a lasting foundation? Your life. To hear His words, to applaud His words, and then to live as I please. Maybe God will one day say to some of us, what were you thinking? Really, what were you thinking? But the wise man builds his house upon the rock, and the rains come down, and the floods come up, and the wind blows, and lives are put to the test. And I've watched, and you've watched in this life, in this world, in this church, and you've seen people who have been battered by those storms. Winds have come against them. The waters have risen around them. The rain is falling down, crashing down on them. We've seen it. Powerful storms, strong winds. And I marvel at the faith of some of my brothers and sisters that I've watched weather those storms with faithfulness, with trust in God, lives built on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and submitting to His will every step of the way. And I aspire to that kind of trust and devotion. We've seen it. I've seen it over and over again. The house on the rock stands firm. When people wait on God, when people submit on God, when people look to God for their hope, for their direction, for their peace, when they don't give up, when they don't lose heart, when they continue to look to Jesus Christ as King, no matter how dark the clouds may be around them, that is the life that stands. That life endures. That is the promise of Jesus Christ. And we listen to the sweet, faithful, true voices of our children who remind us what the end and the application of this parable is. So build your lives on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your lives on Him. If you haven't built your life on Christ, if you haven't built your life on that foundation, if you have never bowed your knee to Jesus Christ as Lord, He calls you to come. He calls you to submit. He calls you to confess Him as the Son of God, as the King, as the Messiah, as your Lord and Savior. He's paid the price for your sins with His own blood. He's opened the way to the Father. He has thrown that door wide open so that you can come back into a relationship with your Creator. And Jesus makes it possible because He's paid for your sins. He's paid for your rebellion. All of this building on the sand of the past, Jesus has paid the price for that. You can begin anew by coming to Him. He calls you to come to the cross as He went to the cross, but now to die with Christ, to be buried with Christ, to be raised up with Christ, to die and rise with Him in baptism, to receive cleansing of sin, to receive the Spirit of God, to help you live that new life in the kingdom, to put His words into practice, to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, the only way this message does us any good is for us to really open up our own hearts personally to the Word of God. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. It's so easy to deceive ourselves. It's so easy to mistake church going for building your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so easy to maintain a facade. It's so easy to play the part. We know that. We know we could play the part even if it wasn't real. We know how that can be done. But Jesus in this passage calls us to honestly look into the depths of our own hearts What are we really building our lives on? Are we building them on Him? Are we submitting to Jesus Christ as King? Today, the text, the words of Jesus leave us with a single question. And it is the most important question for you and for me. Will your life stand the test? Will your life stand the test? Now, through the testing that comes. And on that great day, when God's wrath is poured out against rebellion and sin and hypocrisy, will my life stand the test? And Jesus says, be wise. Build your life on me. Find strength in the storms. Find deliverance from judgment. Find the peace and the forgiveness that you long to know. If any need to respond to His call, we invite you as we stand and sing.